I got news.
What's the news?
We don't have a speaker this evening. We have the talker, Millie.
Excellent.
Ah, and you know I like to talk about the Bible. Bible Thumper Millie, they call me, huh? Everything is in this Bible that you could ever possibly ask for. Every answer's in here. Why aren't more people reading the Bible and not just going where somebody's going to tell them what it says? If you can read these big college books out here, kids, the Bible is easy. Otherwise, I wouldn't be reading it. It's an easy book to read, and it is written so that it is for each individual. It's not written so that you'll go to some big tabernacle and be told what it says. It's written in such a divine order, so divinely guided, that it just fits you when you read it. And it's a tremendous book. So what I want to talk about this evening is what I see that concerns me. You bet that political world out there concerns me, but it's over my head. I don't understand it. So, since everybody that's here, I think, knows I live by my sense of touch, sense of feeling. And yes, I can get into politics in that way, but if you ask me, why did you think that? I'll say, darned if I know. So I don't get into the political world out there. But this tremendous Bible backs up that what we really all need to be concentrating on instead of the political world quite so much is our own little families. Right under your nose, our own little families. And yes, one good way is to read the Bible. It'll tell you about the family. It'll tell you exactly how to handle a family. I don't know if churches really talk a lot about that or not. But it's in there, and it's big in this Bible. And I want to read just a few of the sentences that's in here that talks about raising your family. But your family is what grows up and gets out there in the world that's going to handle your country, that's going to handle the atmosphere. It's the younger ones coming up that's going to be doing that. And yes, we do send our children to college, and that's grand. But let's do a little training at home in how to live lovingly. Spiritually, yes, but now, honey, the one lady out there is allergic, so I don't know if she can come in. Did she leave?
They both left.
Oh, okay. I hope they didn't leave because I said I was talking tonight. No, she's not feeling good tonight. So anyhow, If you really read the Bible, it talks of its family. We're God's family. We're kids in his household. The earth life is his family. And what is he? Read the Bible. He is love. Love energy. Not a man sitting up there saying, okay, we've got to get this earth spinning a little faster, a little slower, although I think it is spinning faster. But he's not up there saying that. No, what he wants to see what his children, which is us, are doing. Would you like to have your hand behind you all the time and not be able to see it? Who knows what it might get into, huh? We are the fingers on God's hand. Now stop it, Terry. We are the fingers on God's hand. God wants to know what you're doing. And God does know what you're doing and what you're thinking. At every minute of your life, God knows what you're thinking. So he doesn't come home to say, what were you thinking today? God knows right away what you're thinking, which means you're always talking to God forever and ever and ever and ever. Let me just take just a couple little spots here in this wonderful book called the Bible. You've been given freedom. You have been given freedom. Now, we can hear all this talk about freedom for our country and all of that. You yourself have been given freedom. There's our little nurse. You have been given freedom. I'm reading that from here. Are you ready for the rest of it? You've been given freedom, not freedom to do wrong, but freedom to love and serve each other. You haven't been given freedom to do wrong. If you do negative, it'll come back to you so quick, it'll knock your feet right out from underneath you. So you haven't been given that kind of freedom. But freedom to love and serve each other. For the law can be summed up in this one command, love others as you love yourself. Now, you won't even need to go any further. That right there can give you something to think about all day. This Bible, one sentence can keep you thinking for a long time, if you really read it. But what I see is the problem with the life here on the earth. God's family is divided up in little sections called families. And I believe that we're falling short in the families. It's amazing how many people I find have parents that were soaked on alcohol, and so they didn't know how to react to their daddy or their mommy. They didn't know how to react to them. If they were drinking, they acted this way. If they weren't drinking, they'd act this way. What's that going to do to our children that are growing up? Kind of confusing, isn't it? Also, they're little bubbles of God, so they're going to spend a lot of time kind of worrying about you, aren't they? But I want to make daddy better. I want to make mommy better. What does that do to the children? And just go on and just use this, just thinking. When I was raised, again, all of you who know me know that you've heard all this before, raised out there in the mountains in about 10 feet of snow. No, not all the time. But I was raised out there in the mountains, and we didn't have any alcohol in the household. So I can't blame kids that grew up in an alcoholic household, because it was right there, like the faucet you turn on got the water. Alcohol was there for them to finish the glass that daddy didn't finish or mommy didn't finish or whatever. Okay, so it sounds like alcohol is a problem. No, it's not the problem. The problem is that the parents would allow their children to see them drinking and allow their children to see them change right in front of their eyes. That make any sense? That's the real problem, isn't it? Now, sometimes if daddy's drinking, I can do this and this and this and this. But if he's not drinking, I got to do this and this and this and this. Children had to learn how to handle their parents. The parents' job is to be able to handle the children by their actions, thoughts, and deeds that they are showing their children. So if we have a weakness in our country, it's not the big politicians up there. It's the people that put them into power. It's the people that are down here in the little nuggets called family life, where they're not doing all they need to be doing to represent, be examples of love. I only heard my daddy curse once. The Bible asks us not to curse. Did you know that? And yet it's a cool thing to do, huh? You know, you get out there and you hell and you damn somebody, and boy, you're a big shot. The Bible tells us not to do that. That's not something God likes us to do. And yes, parents do it right in front of their children. I was fortunate. I didn't have that. I heard my dad say, I think, damn once, and that's when the cow hit him in the face with her tail, when he was milking her. And my mother said, Ace! And so, no, I didn't hear that. And people weren't welcome in our house that did. So it doesn't make me better than anybody else, but in one phase of my life, it was harder. One phase of my life, it was easier. One phase of my life, it was harder, because when I got out to life where people were cursing and damning and helling and making themselves feel really big, drinking, I never had to be around anybody that took drugs. That wasn't my era. But I really felt like a country bumpkin, and they treated me like a country bumpkin. But you know what? When I look back on it, it's okay. It's okay. But that's not all that this Bible tells us to do about when it comes to raising our children. This Bible doesn't leave anything undone. Whoever wrote this book all that ages ago, maybe they did live to be 800 years old at that time and had to take that long to get all the wisdom that's in this book. But it says, children, obey your parents. This is the right thing to do. Well, how are you going to obey them if you don't know whether they're drunk or drugged or what? How are you going to know how to obey those parents when they're so changeable? What do you think? But it says, obey your parents. God has placed them in authority over you. Wow. And if they are wonderful, hallelujah. And if they're not, that child's in trouble. Honor your father and mother. Yes, we want to honor our father and mother. You betcha. But which one? The daddy that's all upset because he feels it by throwing his power around, and that not necessarily due to alcohol, just to due to the personality that he has, that he can be so powerful and he is going to be in commanding and you better, or the daddy that's all loving and kind. Which daddy are you going to listen to? Which daddy? Which mommy? Well, anyhow, this is the first of the God's Ten Commandments that ends with a promise, and this is the promise that if you honor your father and mother, yours will be a long life full of blessings. Now, if you've got parents that have good thinking ability, like the two that I use as my poster family sitting in the front row over there, those kids would have no need to disobey their parents. Their parents don't get soused and fall all over them. Their parents don't get drugged and come in and blow pot smoke in their face. These kids have parents they honor and look at the sight of them as they walk in like this. Now, word for your parents, don't keep on scolding and nagging your children. Boy, you've seen that, haven't you? And then you expect your children to love you after you've just nagged at them and scolded them and yelled at them, and then expect them to love you? They have to love me. I'm their parent. No, they don't. No, they don't. So don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up with a loving discipline that the Lord himself approves, and the suggestions and godly advice. Oh, my. And I believe that all of this kind of has brought us to where we are right now. There are an awful lot of unhappy people in this world. An awful lot of unhappy, unhealthy people in this world. I saw a couple heads shake yes. I hope you know what I'm talking about. But the Bible over here in Timothy 2:4 says, there's going to become a time when people won't listen to the truth, but will go around looking for teachers who will tell them just what they want to hear. Pot won't hurt you. I mean, you can have a little of it, but not going to hurt you. Oh, you can drink this. It's not going to hurt you. This is not going to hurt you. This is a, go ahead, take this pill. It's not going to hurt you. Oh, yes, it is. But who's going to listen to me? But I've found in the last few months, I've found some young people that went through life the hard way by drugging and drinking. And now they are going to get up there and talk about it. Now that's what's going to be a big help, isn't it? Now that's the kind of God work we need. We need people that have gone through it and made it to a certain extent. Once you're damaged, you're damaged. But you can get up there and talk about some of it. And you know one that's going to do it is Shirley and Fred's daughter. And how many was in class the night that energy came through and sent her the healing energy? Debbie and Terry and you, Kimberly. And that energy in our room, we didn't know that she was in need. But the energy was so high and so strong, it woke her up. She told it again the other night, or at the healing class on Sunday, she told it. The energy was so strong that it woke her up. and she never touched a drop since. And she's out there, she came in here and talked about it, and she's out there trying to help other people not get involved on it. Please, everybody, reach wherever you can. Whatever you've been through, you can now teach to others. Whatever you've been through, you can turn and teach to others. By example of what they would want to do or what they wouldn't want to do. But that age is up here now, isn't it? When they don't want to, most people don't want to hear the Bible. I tell you, it's a wonder some of you didn't get up and run out when I said, I'm going to talk about the Bible. I'm a Bible thumper. But nobody, I might have seen maybe one or two flinch, but nobody jumped and ran. This is a great book. It's just been misinterpreted. It is nothing except love and happy living. We are God's kids. Does that feel good? Oh, for heaven's sakes, I guess everybody should be having their head flop up and down. Amen. Use God's energy to flop your head up and down. You're God's kid. And this is a tremendous, tremendous opportunity we have. But you know, good morals have been laughed at. Family structure has been laughed at. Marriage has been laughed at. I've had people come to me and say, you know, I never knew who mom was going to bring home. She was married about 4 or 5 times. And I can say, how many have you lived with? Well, and they start to count, oh, maybe 5 or 6. That's marriages in the eyes of God. You just don't trust them enough to marry them by man's laws. But you're married in God's eyes if you're living in a married state. Now, think about all of that. Please, everybody, yes, be interested in the country. Be interested in getting out there and helping wherever you can. But also start around your own feet. We all have some improvement we need to do on ourselves. Start with your own feet. Polish and shine yourself to the best of your ability so that you can feel proud because you are carrying God around on this earth plane. You are walking around carrying God, bubble of God. Is that exciting? If it's not, what would be? Well, anyhow, think about it. But I kind of wonder about this. I'm not talking about me. I got this. Somebody sent it to me. You ready? A few years ago, I was born. My father met a stranger, a newcomer in our small town. From the beginning, my father was fascinated by this charming character and invited him in to live with our family. The stranger agreed and since then has been with us. As I grew, I never questioned him in the family. In my young mind, he had a very special place. My parents were complimentary instructors. My mom taught me what was good and what was bad, and my dad taught me to obey. But the stranger was our storyteller. He kept us spellbound for hours with adventure, mysteries, and comedies. He never had answers for anything we wanted to know about. He always had answers for anything we wanted to know about politics or history or science, and he knew all the past and the present and could even predict the future. He took my family to the first football game, made me laugh and made me moan. And the stranger never stopped talking, but my father did not care. Sometimes my mom would get up early and quiet while the rest of us were trying to hear what he said he had to say, but she went to the kitchen for peace and tranquility. Now, I wonder if she will ever, I wonder if she ever prayed for the stranger to leave. My father ran our household with certain moral convictions, but the stranger never felt obligated to honor him. Profanity and bad language, for example, were not allowed in our house, not by us or our friends or anyone who visits us. However, our long-term visitor could use language that often was inappropriate, burned my ears, made my dad squirm and my mother blush. My dad never gave us permission to drink alcohol, but the stranger encouraged us to try it and do it regularly. He made cigarettes look cool and harmless, and that cigars and pipes are are seen distinguished. He talked freely, probably too much, about sex. His comments were sometimes obvious, sometimes aggressive, and generally embarrassing. He was repeatedly criticized, but never paid any attention to the values of my parents and still remained in our house. It's been more than 50 years since that stranger moved in with our family. Since then, much has changed. Is not as fascinating as he was at first. However, if today you could see my parents' lair, you will still find him sitting in the corner, waiting in case anyone wants to hear him talk or spend their free time to keep him company. His name is TV. Well, name is TV, and this article, did I chase him off? This young man.
No, he went to the restroom.
I'm sorry?
Outside.
He went to the restroom.
Outside?
No, he went out. Okay. This article is required to be read in every home. And he now has collected himself a wife called the computer and a son called cell phone. Absolutely, that TV has changed our way of living, hasn't it?
Yes.
Okay, let's all sit around the TV. Oh, let's get some sit around the TV. Let's go watch a movie on TV. You know, it's quite surprised how many people will say, oh, Millie won't want to see that. I wonder what's on there that they don't think I'd want to see. That they are grown up enough to look at, but Millie's not. My curiosity's going to get to me, isn't it? What do you think? So what can we do?
Turn it off.
Turn it off, yeah. But what can we do about our families? When you go back and look at your family, let's not be critical. Let's realize that everybody in here has grown up enough that they can take their own responsibility and step up and be what you feel you want God to be looking at and listening to. About your thoughts right now. Want God to hear them? God is hearing them. Does that feel okay to you? Kevin says, ooh. I don't know what that means exactly, but... Again, thank you for letting me spout off there, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. I am so delighted in the idea that we are part of God and that we can just dip into that whenever we want to and the well doesn't run dry. And if anybody here feels, well, maybe I didn't do right by my children, I this or that, I was really just in my growing spree, and I was just a kid too, you betcha. Parents are kids when they're raising kids. They're kids. They're little children too. And I just wonder if any of you feel like, oh, I guess I should have done better. Well, that's okay. It's really okay. You see, we pick our parents, so your children would have picked you. And they would have picked you to learn what they could from you. But for each of us, please, when we step out in the world, let's do our best to be examples of love, whether we're at home or in the grocery store, food line, wherever. Who's here for the first time? Wave to our angel.